You Talk podcast, we know that faith starts in the home. We also know that it can be difficult to take what we hear on Sunday and live it out in our homes the rest of the week. That's because information alone doesn't lead to growth and change. But information that's reflected on and put into practice is much more likely to lead to growth and change. Join us as we hear God's word, reflect on it, and give practical starting points to help you live out your faith in your family and in your community.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. Yes.
Everyone.
Hello.
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 Paul's that was way too much fun.
Sometimes we just look at Paul and go, what's going on? So if you were looking at Paul and going, what's going on? Join the club.
And then my first thought is the internet broken? Are we losing Wi-Fi?
I'm just broken.
It's just welcome back to Nebraska, Paul.
I am back. Hey, everyone. Back in jazz. Back in jazz.
Is Nebraska jazz?
No, but as I used to say, it's close enough for jazz. That's pretty much my life. Anybody play jazz?
No.
All right.
Kind of.
I prefer big band music, and that's pretty precise.
Jesus is
that's also not jazz.
How's everyone doing out there?
I got that added to my phone. I'm so happy.
I know you do. That's why I said it.
When I call, is that my ringtone?
It should be.
Yeah, it will be from now on.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Jesus is a friend.
You got that added to your phone?
Because for the rescheduled pool party, Ronin Pool allowed me to make a playlist.
Don't ruin the surprise.
Oh, I've got tons of surprises in that thing now.
Oh, okay. I won't be here, but...
Let's talk about what's not a surprise that y'all should come to the pool party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Next Saturday. Next 17th. July 17th.
That's the day after my birthday.
When, where? Let's go, Casey.
All right. It is July 17th from 6:30 to 8:30. Be there, be square, and you'll be there at Ronin Pool in Fremont. If there's a different Ronin Pool and you find yourself there, we won't be there.
Mm. Yep, the one in Fremont,
free
Nebraska.
Free family fun.
Yes.
What is free. That? Is that a problem that we usually have? People show up to other Ronin Pools?
I'm
here for the pool party.
But we're global. So, you know, if someone in South Australia tried to get to their Ronin Pool.
That's right. Butok does go across the interwebs.
I'm not certain how I would say Ronin in an Australian accent.
Although I am kind of curious, is there any Ronin Pools in Fremonts across this planet besides Nebraska?
If you're in a different Fremont
and there is a Ronin Pool.
And there's a Ronin Pool in your area, please let us know at pewtalkpodcast@gmail.com.
It was something
like
that.
I couldn't remember what it was. There it is.
That's who that's an
oh, episode. Whoopsies. Thank you.
She
you were
right.
I'm
I
wrong.
Was?
I was going with the tweeters. TrinityFremontPodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Thanks, Lacey. The tweeters
problem.
We do not use. There's one follower and it's me. So we're going to just kind of.
Do you tweet yourself?
I don't have the tweets on my phone.
No.
I don't tweet either.
Do we have the. Oh, there's even a tweet on the screen.
Yeah, you could follow us on the tweeters, but all you'll get is.
Anthony.
No, you'll get this.
It pops up every
the broadcast
up
every notice. Week
on Wednesday. No, not even the live. The Wednesday audio version, you'll get that on the tweeters.
I could put it on Periscope.
Oh.
Which is the tweeters.
Do people use Periscope anymore? I don't know.
If you use joint.
Yeah. If you're joining us on the. No, you're not because it's not going there. If you would join us on the Periscope,
can we
let us know at the tweeters.
Can we like branch out to MySpace? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I'm sure we can. I'm sure we can.
I wonder if that even still works.
Oh, yeah, it
does.
It works. I still have a MySpace. I don't use it, but I have one. It's funny because I have all my old pictures on there from when I was playing bands back in the day.
Ooh. Did you have your mullet?
I did not.
I'd like to see that mullet.
Let's leave the mullet in the past.
Maybe if I win a bet.
All right, what was your craziest hair style?
We talked about our bangs earlier.
I talked about my bangs. I don't even know. I've had so many different hairstyles.
Did you have a mullet?
I did not have a mullet. Could you imagine me with a mullet?
Could you imagine someone with chopped off hair and big bangs right before their senior picture?
Yeah, it's a good look.
I had a butt part.
I didn't know the big bangs at that point.
I had the butt part in my senior pictures right down the
middle. So wait a minute.
I let my friend give me a haircut like 2 weeks before my senior picture. She said she'd cut hair before. I was like, I
her
had a
own
haircut. You can cut mine.
Oh
her Stacey's mom
I forgot
was very
it gets
happy.
Shorter when you dry it.
Somebody wants to know if we're going to be doing the John C. Fremont parade.
Oh, I was going to ask you that earlier too.
The school is not. No, are we asking if the Pew Talk podcast is? Because that we have not had a discussion about.
What are we going to do? Do a live
weekend?
Thing?
Weekend of my birthday.
Isn't that this weekend or next weekend?
The weekend of my birthday. So the 11th.
I don't know what's going on.
No, nope, we're not. The answer is no. Let's just say that. No, we're not. Sorry.
We're not going to do a Pew Talk like live on a truck bed.
On a truck bed.
That would be totally funny.
It's like a good challenge.
Someone would throw money at that.
Paul, you need a project. You're not doing a whole lot.
Yeah, let's not do that.
To be able to get this going live in the
back. Speaking of projects, I'm doing a concert. Well, I'm not doing a concert. Trinity Worship Team is doing a concert. I'm just organizing it.
When?
On?
I don't know.
July.
When do you guys want it? No, just kidding. It's July 23rd. It's a Friday night. We're going to be doing it hopefully outside or not.
Outside.
It's outside, unless it rains. Or they get the air conditioner put in time, because then we can be cool.
That'd be really fast.
That'd be real fast.
Hey, man. All
it
things.
Can happen.
There you go. The heating and air conditioning people can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. Is that what?
That's what I was trying.
Is that where we're going?
I feel like that's where we're going.
Yep.
I feel like with air conditioning.
I feel like that would be a bad misinterpretation of God's word.
Nice lead in.
So transition.
Thank you. Do tell. Let's bring this back around.
What do you mean interpretation?
I mean when you take something one meaning and something that's supposed to mean one thing.
The way you understand it to say.
Do you need me to help you interpret the word interpretation?
Yeah. What is this word that you speak of? Interpretation.
What about juxtaposition?
I'm not really interpreting what you're trying to.
What about salt and pepper black otter?
What is it?
I feel that every day.
Everybody's like, "What is happening?"
That's what I'm wondering.
This is what happens
when we take a break.
When we've been gone for a little while.
Oh, by the way, Stephanie said that we can use her pickup and do the
yes, Stephanie. I mean, Paul, we rode around it for on the sides of it for plant sale when we were moving plants around.
Oh,
yeah.
Stephanie has a fun pickup truck.
We could do that.
There you go.
We could do that.
Stephanie, are you volunteering?
Yeah,
it's Sunday.
I have a feeling like I have a feeling like it'd be a little difficult to get.
So it's early this year because
I think
John C. Fremont Days literally is always the weekend of my birthday.
Literally. I'm not interpreting.
Okay, we are going to move past Paul and we're going to move into Ephesians chapter. We're moving to Ephesians chapter 1. So we are written by Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, the good Paul.
I feel slighted.
Say, can you see?
What are you doing?
He said, oh.
I think we need a restart.
All
can we try again?
Is there any way to redo a live broadcast?
Okay. Bye.
We're talking about blueprints and I always want to say Ephesians, but Ephesians. I do. Yep. I don't know why.
You want to phase out?
Sometimes.
All right. So Ephesians, written to the people, the church in Ephesus. So we are going to be working through the book of Ephesians rather slowly. We're going to be walking through chunk by chunk.
A chunk. I know a guitar player does that. It goes, a chunk.
So first, so that we can get into. Here. No, I'm just going to talk over Paul.
Okay, keep going.
So that we can get into this, we're going to read it. And by we, I mean our...
Oh, gosh.
Our beautiful Vanna White of Bible reading.
And I'm going to read from my NIV Bible.
Uh-oh. Oh,
when you ask me to read, that's
put
what I'm going to
read. Put the ESV phone right inside your NIV Bible.
But it's pink and it's pretty. What am I reading?
Ephesians 1, 1 to 14.
1 to 14.
Yes, that's 14 verses. All right. Paul's going to pull it up in ESV so that we can follow.
I officially pulled it over to NIV.
Oh,
because
technology
is good. All right, ready?
Yeah, that was the approved version before this one.
If this is 19... okay, so as Stacy's reading her NIV 1984, copyright 1984, follow along on the screen. I don't know. See if there are any discrepancies in the NIV 2011 that's the not good one.
Oh, goodness.
Go ahead, Stace.
Tell us how you really feel.
I don't like the new NIV. That's how I really am.
Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus.
It's changed already. Oh, I'm sorry.
There you go. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory.
All right. Ephesians chapter 1, the approved NIV. Thank you, Stacy, for reading that.
You're welcome.
The approved.
I appreciate that.
It was different.
It was.
Like significantly different?
Not really. There are a few things. What gets me is like in ESV, in the approved NIV, is adopted as sons, and this changed it to like adopted into sonship.
Sonship.
And so they're just...
He also took out head.
Yeah, that was interesting.
It was interesting. So, and then also, just so you know, this has nothing to do with that. You said marked with a seal, and I thought...
I thought baptism.
Good, good thinking.
Yay.
Would it be on the right?
Actually, the first thing that came to mind was na 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 ba ba ba
ba. Oh, bom, I love that song.
I know, but a seal too. I'm sorry.
I was gonna say I don't know.
It's
what's
okay. Oh my goodness, Space Jam. It's in Space Jam. No, it's not.
It's on. From Batman.
Oh right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kiss from a Rose.
Totally. Ba, yeah.
That's a seal too.
Okay. Anyways, right. Marked with the seal.
Yeah.
Not the singer or the animal.
A seal.
But not a black otter.
I feel.
Of a king seal.
Yeah.
Marking something.
Yeah.
Stamping.
I understand that. I was just
like a wax
goofy.
Seal?
Yeah.
Yes. So therefore, if you have to break it.
There you go.
Cannot be broke. Well, it can be broke, but without knowledge. But this is a little, like, this is sealed for eternity. Like, this seal cannot be broken. This is not like, oh, we know that Satan broke this person because the seal's broken. No, this seal cannot be broken.
Those are different seals than the seven seals in the Revelation, right? Let's go down that path.
There's seven seals in the
seven scrolls.
And yeah,
each scroll has a seal that is broken by.
Yeah, we're not going down that path. We're in Ephesians.
That's a different
Revelation.
Seal.
That's the one that barks. Yeah. All right, so in this we get a lot of...
The education we get in this is just astounding. I'm sure everybody's like, I don't know what's happening.
I don't know what's happening either. So
I was going to say, join the crowd, all of y'all who are joining us.
Yeah.
Sometimes
I'm keeping up because I'm the one that's making up everything.
So
can I find your mute button? Okay.
There you go. All right, Paul's in timeout for a little bit. So those, like, in here, we get a lot of what God does, right? In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons. I'm going back a little bit. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of times. In him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to his will. We were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And so this whole section, if at least in the ESV, it's titled Spiritual Blessings in Christ. These are like all things that God does. So as you read this section, as you hear this section, what sticks out to you? Maybe it's, oh, I thought I was supposed to do that, but God does it. Maybe it's clarification. Maybe it's seals something in your mind. mind. What sticks out to you from this section that we should talk about? Stacey, you have something underlined, I see.
I don't know when I underlined it, but okay. I do. It's verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. And I have a little note in here. I said he knew what it would take. And I'm pretty sure that's in reference to the redemption through his blood, not just that we would be saved because of who we are, but saved because of who he is and what he did.
Yeah, even the plan of salvation was from before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm. It's so easy, like, you know, if you watch a movie you've seen a couple times and you're rooting for the hero, and of course good movies have the hero usually make some sort of bad choice, it spices up the plot, and you're just like, don't do this. And every time I shouldn't say every time, but a lot of times when I read The Fall into Sin, I look at, you know, Adam and Eve, I'm like, just don't eat the fruit and none of this happens. It's like, but God didn't want that to happen, but he also knew it would happen from the beginning of time. So even before he made Adam and Eve, he had the plan of sending Christ into this world to rescue us, which I think is profound.
Yeah, and then the question of, if you knew this is how it would play out, mm-hmm. then why even do it? And
yeah.
Am I really worth it?
I know.
That you still, yes.
Like,
yes.
I think of all, like, the sins I'm aware of that I've committed, which means there are a good amount that I'm unaware of that I committed. And I'm like, really? You'd stick your neck out for me? I'm not sure I would if I knew what you did about me, but I think that's the profoundness of Christ's love right there.
Yeah, and I taught fifth grade religion this past year, and every Thursday we had question day, which usually focused on, from the text, from the story that we're in, what questions do you have? But often days they'd be like, I don't know. Can we ask any questions? So the answer is usually, is it about the Bible? Jesus. Maybe. But the question that I got a lot was, well, why did God put the apple there? And I can kind of cop out on that because my answer is, well, I'm not God, so I'm not, I can't speak for him because he doesn't tell us why he put the apple there.
Temptation.
Okay.
Was it a Granny Smith?
No, it was not an apple.
It was a piece of fruit.
No one in the world, like, if this world went to pot because of an apple, I'd be real ticked. I mean, this better have been a much better fruit than an apple.
Well, I think apples are pretty good.
I like apples. I know. I do like apples, but
so why did apple? Why did apple get the?
We had this conversation though, because it's
probably pomegranate. Pomegranates.
I do like pomegranates, but anyways, no, I had this conversation with somebody. Sorry, I just cut you off. Mm-hmm. I apologize. About
I forgive
how
you. I'll
sin
turn my heart
started
back to you.
With like the woman. Like the woman took the apple, and then you corrected me and said, no, it was a piece of fruit. They can't really say it was an apple.
Yeah.
But then it just made me think, well, we messed it up.
Maybe Adam didn't name
we
it.
Added our own stuff into the Bible. Is that what you mean? Or the women messed
well,
it up? Is that what you're
by
saying?
By eating the apple. And then it all went to heck in a handbag after that.
Yeah.
But God thought man would be lonely without the woman. So did God know that we were going? Well, obviously he did. So maybe God knew that. I don't even know how to say this. So I'm just going to stop.
Well, so here's the deal. God, if you read the story, God didn't tell Eve what to do with the tree. He only told Adam. All of this conversation happened before Eve was in the garden. So it was Adam's job to like train her and tell her what not to do and what to do. And he was probably there with her and didn't stop her. And so,
yeah, because it does. It seems like in all the pictures or the stories or the movies, Adam walks up later after all this has gone down, and he's like, "Oh, that's cool."
Yeah,
but
a fruit.
But the Bible, you know, it doesn't give us the context, but it literally just says, "Then Eve turned and gave some to her husband." So it's like he's just like over here, not paying attention,
or taking a nap,
or maybe Moses just shorthanded it. God was telling him,
maybe.
You're wondering, right? How much? All right. He turned.
Yeah. It's a, so verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was delightful to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate.
Who was with her?
Yep.
Who
was so, however, though.
It was strawberries. No, they've grown trees.
No. I really think that it was a fruit that we have never tasted nor seen.
So
no.
We know that.
I've never tasted it.
So it's like not, no one
so it's not
other
passion,
than
it's not
Adam.
Passion fruit.
No.
That'd be funny though.
I don't know. It can be whatever it wants. It was
fancy
whatever
fruit.
God made it.
It's a fancy fruit.
It's a fancy fruit.
Well, it's an apple.
It's not it's the most
it's a faithful fancy fruit. It's
the most basic of fruits. The apple is what you get in your stocking at Christmas.
You do. I never did.
I know. What are you talking about? Who gives a kid an apple in a stocking?
We always got apple and orange in my stocking.
I heard about, you know, but before candy became even more prevalent in Halloween. I heard about apples and candy apples getting given out at Halloween.
I love love candy.
Yeah, but now some woman's going to poison it, so you can't take real food from people.
I don't think that there was ever an incident that somebody poisoned somebody else's kid. I think there's incidents of people poisoning their own kid.
This is okay. So back to the book of Ephesians that we're nowhere near anymore. Let's...
This is what happens when we take a week off.
I know. I feel like we're all off kilter. And I'm just sitting here trying to figure out. I remember you saying something about, I listened to both services and I was completely confused. But as we're sitting here talking about plans and how God knew this was going to happen, it makes me think, okay, blueprints. But blueprints can be changed because you had said, you know, here, these are the blueprints for this edition of the school. And I'm like, okay, but I'm like, blueprints change. I'm like, engineers come in and they're like, oh, this doesn't work for this, so let's adjust it. Or, oh, this electrical outlet can't go here because it doesn't meet code, let's adjust it. So I'm thinking that through my head and I'm like, okay, so how does God adjust things for us? You know, because yeah, it may not work over here, but is he then shifting us over here where it will work? Is he guiding us? Is he...
Well, he knows where it'll work. We're just the stupid ones that want to go over here.
Yeah, but then we do go off path or off kilter or in a ditch or we fall off the road or whatever, and then we get back on.
Well, I didn't say that God had a blueprint to determine every little what you're going to have for breakfast today.
Right. No, that's
I said
hard.
God had a blueprint for his plan for salvation.
That doesn't change.
No, but
you might decide to have sugar cereal today rather than healthy cereal. But that's not part of God's blueprint from before the foundation of the world.
Gotcha. See, the randomest things just stick out to me. So that's what I then started thinking about, and I'm trying to help. It doesn't seem like it, though. I'll just sit here and keep spinning.
You did talk about the blueprints, so I think that's a good, blueprints can change, but God's plan doesn't. So I think that's where that analogy may be.
Laud.
Well, no analogy.
I didn't think about the blueprint changing, but you're right. An earthly building blueprint, and
it's because it's an engineer.
Right. And he deals with blueprints, so that way.
I've never looked at a blueprint before I pulled that thing out from storage.
Oh, seriously?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think it's interesting because blueprints, you know, aside from that you, on a technical level, have to adjust it as things change, blueprints exist so you can go back to what is the basis of what we're doing. I mean, if you designed the blueprints once, said, oh, cool idea, and then never touched them again as you were building a project, you'd get way off kilter. You know, you need to go back to them as your structural base as to what you're doing. You know, a building, the longer you go without referencing the blueprints, the farther off that's going to look or quality-wise. You know, I don't know blueprints that well. I don't know all the information that's contained on them. I know they make great backgrounds for logos on those home improvement shows. It seems like they use them a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, to go with analogies, most blueprints, you're talking about, changing outlets or changing doorways or whatever. Those are
minuscule things.
Yeah, the actual structure of the actual building that is being built generally doesn't change unless somebody looking at the blueprint goes, oh, this is going to fall down.
Right.
And then they pay off everybody and then eventually falls down anyways.
We're not talking about anything that happened in the news, so you don't know anything about anything. So there you go. The hotel that...
Yeah, he knows.
Wait a minute. So you're looking at me like...
I know. That's why I'm making the analogy for it. Anyways, the point is that God's building is not going to fall down.
No.
But the outlets inside of that plan...
we might be getting caught up to it.
Don't get lost.
Analogies only go so far. Yes, Paul, you're the one who says that every time. I just use an example. The goal wasn't to pick apart the example. The goal was to give us
an idea. The goal is to make sure that we pick apart every little thing.
No,
but
that wasn't the goal.
I'm just trying to say that you're trying to make the announcement. You're trying to figure out why the blueprint changes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but God's blueprint doesn't change, I guess, is what?
Well, the blueprint is the building itself. It's the structure that he built for our salvation. The outlets inside have room to change, and that's why we can have sugar cereal and not healthy cereal in the morning. I mean, if you look at it that way.
Yeah. But also, like, really the main reason I wanted to look at a little bit of blueprint, and I didn't go too far into this because I didn't want to nerd out too much. But like the phrases in those first 14 verses just go grace, heavenly places, holy and without blemish, will, plan, purpose, inheritance, sonship, blood of Christ, riches of grace and glory, mystery, stewardship, uniting in him, Jew, Gentile relations, the seal of the Spirit, and then the Spirit. Those come in those first 14 verses, those phrases or those ideas, but those will get repeated over and over and over. So just reading the introduction gives us a blueprint for how to read the rest of the Bible or the rest of that letter to the Ephesians. So Paul is helping us to read or to know what's to come. He's kind of giving us a blueprint for then what, like, then we'll actually start building as we read the rest of it. So that's really where that main image came from. But I really didn't think y'all needed to go too deep on. Too,
I mean, it was already that I won't. It was left field something.
It was already an 18-minute sermon, y'all. I don't know if you know this, but that's long for me. Stacy was over here going long.
Well, and so my big thing is, of course, this is where we now go into a more in-depth conversation, because predestination is a big, I guess, rift between different parts of Christianity. So
it's a contentious point.
It's very obvious in Ephesians that people are predestined for adoption to God as sons through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Period.
Oh, period. Done. All right.
Yep.
Duh. What's end the big deal?
Well, I mean, so for people who are like, okay, what's predestination? Essentially, it's the difference between me going, I choose to follow Jesus versus Jesus choosing us to follow him.
Yes. And then there's going even further. And so we, as Lutherans, we believe in predestination. We do not believe in double predestination. And this will not logically make sense. But with predestination, we say that God has predestined me to be adopted as his son. We believe that. Double predestination says, well, then it would obviously follow that, and I feel bad for Joe Schmo, but he's always the one that gets chosen, that God has predestined Joe Schmo to go to hell. We do not believe in double predestination. Now, again, logically, that doesn't make sense. Logically, well, if God is predestining certain people to be adopted as sons and have eternal life, then he's obviously predestining the rest of people to not, and so to go to hell. But it's this, it doesn't make sense logically, but we believe, teaching confess that if I have faith, it's all God's work. It's all God's doing. If I don't have faith, it's because I personally have rejected the grace that God wants to give me. And I've said, no thanks, I don't need it. I'll do it on my own. So there you go.
And human logic states on both of those, well, if you have two options, you know, it looks like you have two options there. So it looks like you have to have one of those. It has to be an either or. And this is one of those situations where it really isn't, even if it looks like it.
Yep. And that's where as Lutherans, Luther was really okay of saying, well, it doesn't make sense logically. No, but this is what we get when we read God's word. It's obvious. I mean, to say that predestination is not a thing. I mean, don't read any of Paul then, because Paul talks constantly about us being chosen. It's the work of Jesus, not by our own works, lest no man should boast. So it's obvious as you read Ephesians that God, in love, God predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. You have to believe in predestination if you want to read the Bible and believe what, you know, believe that the Bible is truth. But at the same time, we know that God wants all to be saved. We know that Jesus has died for all people, but there are some who choose to reject that.
So just because we're having deep conversations, when does one become a child of God?
Depends on how you want to say that. So they're what we call means of grace, the ways in which God lavishes his gifts of grace upon us. And really, as Lutherans, we talk about two ways, through the waters of baptism and through the hearing of the word and the work of the Spirit. So those are combined, hearing of the word and the work of the Spirit. The Spirit works through the word. So when you would say, like, I mean, logically, something's going to change. So you could say, oh, I heard the gospel and now I believe in Jesus. Yeah. But it's because of the Spirit's working through that word, not me going like, oh, I'm dead in Christ and I'm going to make myself alive again. It's the Spirit who makes us alive. And then we go, oh, something just happened. Jesus.
So when we hear phrases like that, we're all children of God.
We are all created in the image of God.
Yeah, that's not what I said.
I know.
I just want to clarify, and because we're in that conversation.
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean?
And it's that, from what I've observed, that's a common misuse of that word.
Well, we're talking about that with Paul. That's why he was writing it, right? Mm-hmm. Right in Ephesians, because we have common misconceptions of what we're, and that, or reason I bring it up is because this is what I've heard in other Christian churches, not necessarily Lutherans, but
And to understand kind of why, like, because you'll hear that in tons of different places, Christian or otherwise, you know, we're all God's children. And no, we're all made in the image of God. But to understand what it means to be a child of God is to understand the nature of sin itself. Sin is ultimate imperfection. God is ultimate perfection. Ultimate imperfection and perfection cannot be in the same location. They can't be related. Like God is so holy that if God's presence is even in the midst of a, you know, sinful being, it will, that person will not stand anymore. And it's one of the reasons, like when Moses goes up on the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, he has to hide behind a rock when he's in the same vicinity as God, because he as a sinful being physically cannot handle it. And so, because we are sinners, we are not on the same plane as God's perfection anymore. We are not his children because sin has fractured that relationship, and on our end, permanently. We can't become children of God just because we want to again. We become children of God through adoption by baptism. And that's really hard to understand until we realize just, you know, imperfection is what we are. God is perfect. They cannot coexist. That is how perfect God is.
Yeah, so the phrase, we are all children of God, would not be a correct phrase. It's period, not right.
We are all children of
God. Well, yes, in this room.
Well, we're bringing up common misconceptions. Right. The apple being the first one. But this is a phrase that is prevalent.
I think sometimes it's good to check ourselves on those too. When we hear those phrases and think, is this actually accurate? We say these or hear this a lot. Is that really what the Bible says?
Well, another one that this area of Ephesians comes kind of close to addressing, one of the common languages that is heard amongst many Christians is choosing to follow God. And that is very prevalent. You'll hear it, at least I do, on a lot of the major Christian radio stations, whether they play music or their Christian talk radio, whatever it is. But we of the Lutheran persuasion don't believe that to be accurate, because this Paul tells us here, God chooses us. It's not like a double choose thing. It's he chose you. You can't choose when you've already been chosen. You can't quit when you've already been fired. You know, they don't work at the same time.
Yeah, and that was what we were basically bringing up before, the predestination versus just choosing.
Yep. Now, there still is, like, as the Spirit chooses you, there still is that cognitive, okay, now what?
I'm right? Aligning my life with is that I believe.
Now that I've been given faith, what does that look like? There's this cognitive, okay, now what does that look like to live differently? What does that look like to, and that's where we'll get at the end of the Ephesians, is what does it look like to live out the faith that I've been given?
Because then isn't that your choice?
To how to live?
You know,
yeah.
You know, because you've already been chosen. Jesus has chose you. Well, now you need to choose to.
You make choices to live differently.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the verse that people sometimes use to combat the, well, you have some decision in the matter. They go back to the Old Testament, to the when Joshua is addressing the Israelites, and it makes for beautiful Christian wall art. There are tons of this verse, and I love it because it really does. It sums up the mission of Christian households. It says, "Choose today whom you shall serve. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord." And people point to that and go, that's evidence that you choose to follow God. But who is Joshua addressing? God's chosen people, the Israelites. If they are God's chosen people, it means they can't choose because they were already chosen.
But they can choose. What does that look like?
Exactly.
Do I follow the will? Do I follow the Ten Commandments that have been given to us recently? Do I follow
the law?
Do I follow the law? Or do I choose to live my own way?
And it works out swimmingly when they do.
Yep. Every time they choose their own way, things go well. But when they choose God's way, oh wait, no. Even when they think they can win easy battles and decide to do it themselves, they get utterly humiliated.
Yeah, a little bit.
I like how that's not even like one instance in the Bible.
No,
like it's not even
every
single prophetic book before Jesus shows up on the scene has an instance. If it's a what I'll call a story book, one that advances the story of the history of God's people, they get a little full of themselves. They're like, hey, I can do this, and then they show up and lose a pathetically easy battle.
But yet they're still God's people.
Yes. They didn't lose that. They just lost their battle.
They lost their battle. They may have lost lives. They may have lost their comfy way of living. Because instead of just deciding, nope, God will take care of this, we'll go straight from Egypt into the promised land, they're like, yeah, those people look big. And so they decided, to not follow God's will, and they spent 40 years wandering in the desert. Rather than, I mean, if they would have just followed God's will, they would have been in the promised land in no time and been living the cush life. Not really see you at like cushy life.
Okay, so
my favorite instance of this in all of scripture is just the book of Judges.
Yeah.
Like Judges is literally a book of patterns of the Israelites get full of themselves, they stop following God. Then they get taken over for a bit, and then they get rescued. But no, that's not the end of the book. That's just the end of about the first four chapters.
Repeat.
Repeat. Repeat.
Okay, so other
misconceptions.
Yeah, misconceptions. One of the more popular ones is that God won't give you anything you can't handle.
That one's like the exact opposite. God always gives you more than you can handle, but he never gives you more than Jesus can handle. If we could handle everything in our lives, we wouldn't need Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we do. Say that is yep. one of those things. And the actual verse that they keep on quoting, it actually says we'll go give you a way out.
A way out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Guess what that way out is. Everyone, Jesus. Say it together.
Jesus.
I almost did the beep.
Beep. Flower bed.
Jesus.
Tacos. No. It's when you, as someone who has a background in education, you usually wind up leading a few education things.
No, really?
Yeah. It turns out I do. I use what I'm trained to do. It's awesome. No. And one of my first things I got to do as an intern, when you're training as a director of Christian education, your last step is a year-long internship. And I remember it was one of my favorite moments of my internship. I did a lot with youth, but there was a group of senior citizens who wanted a Bible study. So I got that put together. And one of them came in one day. He goes, you know, I've lived my whole life, and I just learned that something wasn't in the Bible that I always thought was. He goes, for all time, I thought the Lord helps those who help themselves was a Bible verse. He goes, I just learned yesterday that wasn't.
Ben Franklin?
I say, I don't know who that's quoted from, but I knew it wasn't the Bible.
I think it's Ben Franklin.
Yeah, it's not Bible.
America.
But how many times it's like America. People can live their whole lives with these misconceptions.
Well, this is the reason I'm bringing them up. Yeah. Because that's really what stuck out when we're talking about this, because you're saying that Paul wrote this because a bunch of misconceptions were happening within the Big C church, as you said it. And so I was like, well, that's still happens today. There's nothing different.
No, nothing new under the sun.
You know, and so my main question would be, you know, we've got, 2,000 plus years of knowledge over the Ephesians, that big C, but we're still making the same mistakes.
Yep.
So,
we can figure out.
Yay for us.
Progress.
We're so smart.
We can figure out how to get people to the moon, but we still can't get past the same spiritual struggles that they have.
Well, that's because we're woke. Oh.
Yeah, we're woke. Totally. That's us.
I have a book. I have over there. Not woke. Resurrected.
That's one of my favorite mugs.
What was I going to say?
Jesus. No,
Jesus.
Same patterns 2,000 years ago.
Well, I guess this is one of the reasons why the Bible is a living, the word is living, because it never really gets outdated.
No.
But you do one little search about, I'm pointing at the computer screen, anybody can't see me. You do one little search of what, type in what mainstream Christians get wrong, and you will find 9,000 articles about all the things we get wrong. And believe me, there's a lot of opinions out there what we get wrong and how we're outdated.
Yep.
So.
Now, some of that probably, from a Christian perspective, there are things that the world might think we get wrong.
Correct. That's where
that are not biblically. Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
Like when we get to Ephesians 5 and it says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord.
He already told me he's really excited.
I can't wait for Ephesians 5. Let's go, y'all. That's going to be real fun to preach on, because it's really easy to tell husbands, you know, love your wives. Husbands, be willing to lay down your lives for your wives as Christ would for the church. It's really easy to tell husbands that, but then when it gives to the, but wives, submit to your husbands, respect your husbands
in a godly it gets, model.
Well, right. But like, even to just say the words, wives, submit to your husbands, mm-hmm. they're like, I have people who want that out of the wedding, like out of the wedding, because they're, I will respect you, honor you. I've had people ask me to take that out.
And you say, nope.
I said, oh, I'm sorry. This is, well, the thing is, the those aren't like, no, obviously they're not going to use that as the Bible verse. I'm not going to pull it out if they use that as the Bible verse, if they use Ephesians 5. But like in the vows, I don't fight too much over the vows because those aren't God's word. Yeah. If you want to live a godly, a marriage that Jesus has said this is the way to do it, you should probably keep that in there.
Well, yeah. The reason I'm bringing that up and I'm bringing it up now, and we're talking about misconceptions, because not only is there misconceptions within church and Christianity itself, but then there's misconceptions of the world looking at what Christians do.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm looking at both of these worlds going, I started thinking, oh, we have 2,000 years. We're supposed to be smarter, but we're not. And I'm like,
no, we found more ways to mess it up now.
Yeah.
Like.
Well, you said that in our text, and I was like, that's awesome. That's exactly what I'm trying to say, but I didn't know how to say it.
Yeah. Yes and no. I mean, I say we found more ways to mess it up, but boy, if you go back a lot of years to like Sodom, Gomorrah, and you've got Lot, who is pretty close to the line of God's chosen people, and there are guys that are trying to take these men who have just come to the city, and Lot's like, how about my young daughters instead?
My daughters.
Why don't you just have your way with them instead of these guys?
Well,
that's awkward.
Yeah. What's interesting about that is they didn't have anything written down at that time. They didn't have the Ten Commandments at that point.
Right.
After that, they had the law, and then, even then, they were like, we can't do this. And then we talk about as parents, Casey, not yet, but when you do have kids, you're going to be like, why didn't they come with a manual?
I say that every day.
Yeah. And we don't have a manual. We're just kind of going off of what. Yeah, well,
we have my Bible.
Well, the thing is
the pink book.
But I'm just saying that we have the pink book now.
Yeah,
but
you mean it doesn't
My point was, we have 2,000 years. We have the pink book to reference, and yet we still find ways to screw it up.
Because what happens is, and we'll talk about this a lot when we get to Ephesians 5. God gives this huge list of this is how you should live. I mean, it's all throughout the Bible, but especially when talking about husbands and wives, there's this huge list of how you should live. And it looks like, it feels like that God has put this high jump bar at 100 feet. And you look at it and you're like, well, that's not possible. God obviously didn't mean that. Instead, he probably just meant, now that we're enlightened, we probably know that what he really meant was, love your spouse, say nice things about them, be kind to them.
Remember your Valentine's
Day. Do good
Day.
Things and stuff.
good Christian stuff, just like that.
Yeah.
Sum it up.
And that's like, we just say, well, obviously what's written here is so unattainable that's not really what God meant, because you're still living in you're living in that, well, God doesn't give us more than we can handle, instead of looking to say, no, there's no way I can do that.
Yeah, and I didn't choose this,
but I know someone who can, and it's Jesus, and he lived it for me, and now because he's lived it for me, I get to work every day to try and live up to this, knowing that I'm going to fail, being willing to ask for forgiveness, but still seeing this as the best way to live. And so every day I'm going to seek to live this way, even though I know I'm going to fall short every day. Mm-hmm. But knowing that this is what God has said, that this is the best way to live. For me to love Stacy and to be willing to lay down my life for her and to lead her in a godly Christian way, to be submissive, is not to be like
manipulated.
It's not to be,
my way or the highway.
Right. It is to say, all right, this is the mission, submission. This is the mission that my husband has set for me, for our family.
But that
I'm the helper in that.
Yeah, but that mission that us as the spiritual leader of the home is supposed to be a mirror of...
Lead them to Jesus.
Well, also the way that Jesus leads us.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to mirror that.
If the mission that I set up for my family is I'm going to make some money and I'm going to have a nice big TV and we're going to watch a lot of sports. There's no reason for Stacy to be submissive to that. That's a pretty poopy mission.
Watch
as,
your language.
As the spiritual head of the household, my mission should be to lead us all to Jesus. Lead us closer to Jesus every day. I don't know many Christian women who wouldn't be submissive to that mission. Because that's
the word in our society. Yeah, because it's a very negative connotation.
Tweaked and changed, and it's just
and it's been used in not that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if that
this is my way to control you, to control the family,
and that's not what it.
That's not what.
That's not the meeting.
Well, it's like we're referencing Pastor had said in his text. I love the exact quote of it. There's nothing new. We just found new ways to be stupid to each other.
Yeah.
And I love that because that's exactly what has happened for years and years and years. We don't need an update to the Bible because we deal with the same problems. You know, God gives us the way to live our lives the best way, not so that he lords it over us, but because God legitimately wants us to have our best life possible. And since he designed this world, he's giving us the literal manual of this is how you live life best. Mm-hmm. And you know, but we love to twist it. You know, we get that, you know, directive in Ephesians 5 and sinful men take it as a power trip. You know, and sinful women take it as an idea of how dare you? And it's like that neither of those things was what was being said, but Satan loves to play on us, and that hasn't changed since Ephesians was written.
And when you bring up Satan, I mean, he's taking the word of God and he's twisting it, so therefore it has a negative connotation in the world.
Yeah.
Because nothing works better than me to go, oh well, those Christians don't know what they're talking about because look how they that's what you're basically trying to say is just that he's taking these words and going, oh well, there you go.
To bring it full circle, it's Satan. We think that, at least in my perception, we think that Satan is a master manipulator. He has all these different ways of tempting us. And in some way, that's correct. But I think Satan really only has one temptation. He used it going back to Adam and Eve the very first time. Eve actually, Eve knew, even though she wasn't there when God gives Adam this directive. Adam tells her because when the snake comes to her, she's like, no, we are not to eat of this fruit. And the devil's temptation is not, come on, it looks so good. The first thing he leads off with is, did God really say? It's just enough to have us question everything. So anytime we look at, you know, like I'm thinking of in the Gospels, when Jesus tells us, you know, murder is also hating someone in your heart, and the devil can twist that. Did God really say that it was this? I'm pretty sure you only go to jail if you actually kill someone. So, you know, that's real murder. Like, we're you know, hatred, you know, that could be interpretive. Did God really say that? And that temptation comes around each time. You know, Ephesians 5 is a great thing to look at as how Satan tempts us. Did God really say that you had to follow this? Did God really say that you, husbands, as head of the household, need to be ready to die for your wife? You know, it's...
Right.
Yeah. So now since we reflected on this, how do we put this into practice?
Husbands, love your wives.
Yeah, that's
wives.
Example of that. I'm talking about, let's go back on the macro. Let's look at the macro. I mean, we're basically talking about how there's misconceptions of Christianity within churches, even around us. We have misconceptions of what Christianity is in the world because Christianity is not what they want to be prevalent. And so what do we do?
Read your Bible.
Wait, do your own research?
Like, stop getting your theology from the Googles or from the Facebook. Read your Bible. I don't care what flowery background is on the post on Facebook. Don't assume that it's actually Christian just because it says Christian memes or whatever.
But they put read a cross your Bible. On it. Very true. They put a cross.
Read
they
your can't Bible. Be bad. Okay. Read your Bible.
So what are you trying to say?
Read your Bible.
Okay.
That's one.
All right. I don't quite understand. Can you say it one more time?
Does it matter if it's NIV or ESV? Read the Bible.
Read the Bible.
NIV 2011. I will say,
I will never use it to do like textual research. Read the Message. Read New Living Translation. Those are going to read much easier. They're gonna like, especially if it's your first time going through it. The ESV is clunky, especially in the Old Testament. It's much more literal, much closer to the original Hebrew and the original Greek. But if this is your first time reading through the Bible, even if you've been a lifelong Christian but you've never read it, pull out the Message, and guess what? You're
your Bible app has all of them. Mm-hmm. You can read it in Korean if you want. But
my go-to when, because I started really diving into scripture in middle school, and NIV was what I had, and it was just harder to read. I started off with the Good News for the Modern Man translation. That read so much easier to get through the gospel. Like it really helped lay out what was going on, even though it wasn't the closest to the original translation. It was a good overview to help me understand.
Now, one of the big things, even though you read your Bible, because you might read devotionals or whatnot, but a lot of those sometimes are written by men who have their own twist on things.
Yep.
Or women.
Yep.
Whatever.
Human beings.
And so not only the other part of that would be then to seek out your community and like your church and your pastor and different things, but even within that, you might find there's...
Oh, yeah. And I'm going to get things wrong. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to try real hard not to get things wrong, especially things of great importance. Mm-hmm. But two weeks ago, you asked a question about in Jeremiah, was he the prophet? Yeah. That I was like, I don't remember that. I don't have the whole Bible memorized, but I will.
Yeah, but I think it's more of the overarching message and theme that we're trying to, because you read something and go, this guy is interpreting this reading this way.
Yep.
What do you think? And then you'll be able to at least go, well, this is what I'm interpreting from that.
Mm-hmm. And that's because I have, and we, you know, you guys, especially if you're not Lutheran, you're like, boy, all they talk about is Luther on here. We don't only talk about Luther, but like there's a benefit of being in a larger church body that has really smart people that...
And me.
You're not Lutheran enough. There's a benefit of like me being in the LCMS that even though there are some times where I'm like, I don't know if I really understand this fully or even if I really fully agree with something, but I submit myself to the teachings of the church because there are smart people that have spent a lot more time studying the original languages and the church fathers and things like that where I just go, well, I don't know if I get this, but this is what we believe, teach, and confess. And so this is what I'm going to believe, teach, and confess.
And it's not inconsistent with what I'm reading from the Bible. Like, it's not inconsistent with Christ's teachings.
Because the foundation is that. It's not another book. It's not a... I mean, you guys bring up... Luther's, what do you call that?
The catechism.
Yes, I know. I'm not Lutheran enough, I know. But you guys aren't using it as another book. It's just a
clear. So the catechism doesn't say anything that the Bible didn't already say.
So here's what we've got this big blue book that we had to study that's called the Lutheran Confessions. And it's got all these other things, all these writings in there. And what we say is that we believe, teach, and confess this doctrine because it is an exposition of the Word of God. This is explaining to us, what the Word of God teaches. It's not the New Bible. It doesn't take precedence over the Bible, but it's in agreement with the Bible. It teaches, it explains for modern day, even though it was written, most of that was from the 1500s. It explains in modern day how the Bible affects our daily life. So the Catechism's not an extra, like, we don't worship the catechism. We don't worship the Bible either. Right? The Bible is God's word. We worship Jesus. And Jesus shows himself to us through his word.
Yeah. So my main point is that for practice wise is read your Bible. Bible. Mm-hmm. But also when you have questions, reach out to your community, reach out to your church, reach out to your, find a small group of people like this that you can talk these things through and keep on seeking God. And, and the truth will eventually come to
Seek
light.
The Lord and you will find him, right? Actually, that was today's portal of prayer. Because if you play hide and seek, the goal is to not be found. But Jesus, like the psalm says, seek the Lord and you will find him. Like if you look for him, he is there. He wants you to find him. He's really bad at hide and seek.
Well, and I guess the main thing is that if you talk to your pastor and you're not satisfied or something's not sitting right with you, to continue searching for that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I've got a group of pastors that I sit down with and I talk with and I ask them for their guidance.
Those are the nerd. That's called the nerd crew.
Yeah.
I talk Greek.
The Winkle.
In our circuit, the pastors in this area, it's called the Winkle, which means small gathering. In German. But then I've also got some brothers that I went to seminary with that we connect with. I've got professors that I'll reach out to every once in a while and say, hey, help me with this. And they love it. Yeah. And I love it when y'all ask me questions. Like, one of the things I did in a couple of my previous congregations, I just haven't done here because didn't take off as much as I wanted to in my last previous congregations, was I called it sermon seconds. Hey, you've heard the sermon. Now ask questions about it. And I love responding to questions that people actually have.
And you have that.
Now
you have that.
Now I just talk to y'all right now.
You make us. I go live.
If you have questions. If you want to ask.
Just we have TrinityFremontPodcast@gmail.com.
But also, you can comment.
Or on the Facebooks.
You can comment right now. But the main thing is because we're talking about misconceptions and those kind of things, that all this stuff kind of plays into the whole bigger picture that you go out, read the Bible, talk, you know, because basically we're all sitting there going, we don't know everything. Guess what?
Don't think.
I like to play like I do, but I don't. Actually, I don't even play that. But. Yeah. All right.
So one common and this is what we'll close with. One common misconception is that when you pray, it has to be perfect. It has to be pretty. It has to be long. But that's not true. And so, Paul, you've gotten away with for 52 weeks, 51 weeks. This is week 52.
You're going to make me
without
do it on
praying on the air. And I'm going to make you do it on the spot. And it can be short and it can be clunky because it's an opportunity to just talk to God.
Oh, and man. We won't make fun of
it. And people. We won't.
No. Yeah.
It's but as Tara likes to say, it's on the internet for all to see for all eternity.
There you go.
And so are my clunky prayers.
Yeah, and you get to lead us to Jesus for all eternity.
Yeah. Yep. We don't let him do that again.
Talk to God. Go
the letters
ahead.
Start rolling in.
Oh man. I really don't like you right now.
No pressure.
You can use those prayers.
Yeah. Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for these people thank you for the community that we're talking to. And thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us a blueprint that we can read and try to figure out what you're trying to tell us. And thank you for our communities and all our individuals that we can talk to. And thank you for Jesus. Thank you for, I'm just going to end with thank you. How about that? In your son's name you pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you,
Paul.
You did fantastic.
I said thank you about five times.
That's good. Okay. Jesus likes it when we tell him thank you rather than Jesus more.
Do this,
please.
Do this.
I'll just rat out some people, but I won't use their names. We'll just say sometimes during a 5-day span, there's the thing called the morning devotional. And then we close out in what is called a prayer. And there is a lot of
you didn't say
So thank you is fantastic.
Yeah, well, that's my ums.
And then it goes
thank you.
Amen. So yeah,
there we go. Thanks, Paul.
That's really what it is.
All right.
See?
Thank you.
All right, thank you. We've already said our announcements.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah.
And so we are 52 weeks into this.
This is 52.
Woo-hoo. Yeah. Well, we officially made a year, except that we did a year.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah. We took 2 weeks off. Yeah. But there you go.
So anybody have anything else to say?
Thank you.
Yeah. Just by the way, I just want to
read your Bible.
Anybody who doesn't know who Seal is.
Oh.
There we go.
Oh boy. It's my husband's birthday tomorrow.
There you go.
So if you see Jeff, tell him happy birthday. Tomorrow.
If you see Jeff. Happy birthday.
If
bye,
you
guys.
See my wife, tell her happy anniversary next week.
We'll be here next week.
Really?
We'll be here next Tuesday.
Woo! Happy birthday.
Anniversary.
All right.
Yay.
The guys, real one.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. So, next Tuesday.
Thanks for joining us this week. We pray that the Holy Spirit has used this time to focus you in on the one thing that you can practice this week as you live out your faith in your family and in your community. If you found this helpful, feel free to share it with a friend. If you would like to support the work that God is doing through Trinity Fremont, you can text a donation to 1-844-353-5782. Or you can give online at www.trinityfremont.com/donate.